And as I mentioned earlier, I think Susan Herbst is the most transformative president at UConn since Homer Babbage. So I thought, why not talk a little bit about Homer Babbage, who maybe some students and younger alums might only recognize from
the library,
which bears his name. So who was Homer Babbage? He was UConn's eighth president. He served from 1962 to 1972, and he came here with a slightly unorthodox background. He was never actually a faculty member anywhere. He got his bachelor's, master's, and PhD from Yale, which I understand is a well-known school.
Is it?
Of some sort. And then he went to work in the Eisenhower administration in the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. Before there was a separate Department of Education, it was lumped into one. And by the end of the Eisenhower administration, he was the second highest-ranking federal official in higher education.
I did not know that.
Outgoing president was Albert Jorgensen, whose name adorns another famous building on campus. And he had been president since 1935. And Jorgensen is, without question, the most important single president in UConn's history.
What year did Babbage come?
62.
That is a very long time.
27 years.
Wow.
And Jorgensen presided over the growth of UConn from a very small school with 800 students to a university with 10,000 students. But by 1962, it was time to move on.
Sounds like he was pretty transformative.
He was the most in UConn's history, for sure. But he had kind of had a bad relationship at that point with the trustees and with the faculty and the students, and there really aren't that many other people involved in the university. So people were very excited to have kind of a young, up-and-coming outsider with new ideas. And boy, did he have new ideas. Here's just a short list of the things accomplished during Homer Babbage's 10 years. He doubled the size of the faculty and also doubled their pay. He massively expanded the library collection. When he arrived, the library was in the Wilbur Cross Building, which is visible from the window where we're recording this.
Beautiful.
And we had about 400,000 volumes in the library. The average for a state university at the time was around 900,000.
Wow.
And when he left, there were more than a million.
Now we have 1.3 million because that's in all the academic admissions books I do.
That's right. He created the Honors Program.
Thank you.
Opened
Homer.
The Avery Point campus.
Awesome.
He started the UConn Foundation because before then UConn had no way to raise money from private donors, which was a mistake. Oh, do you like the Benton Museum of Art where we're recording?
I do.
It became a museum of art because of him. When this building was built originally as the only dining hall on campus, and it was called the Beanery, because you'd come and get your beans.
Which I imagine is why we have the Beanery downstairs.
Exactly.
Now.
That heritage is carried on in the coffee shop. But when Homer Babbage arrived, it was being used as storage space.
Wow. And this gorgeous building was being used for storage.
And he saw this gorgeous building with its high ceilings, and he said this would be a great place for an art gallery. And lo and behold, it came to pass.
Very cool.
So he was a transformative president. And when you read accounts of his early years, it's like getting a glimpse into like a Never Never Land, where everybody was happy and things were harmonious.
That's definitely a Never Never Land.
He and his wife would have an Easter egg hunt on the front lawn for the children of university employees every year that would feature a Ferris wheel and a 10-foot-tall papier-mâché bunny.
Oh, my gosh. Can we hire him as our
During a power outage at South Campus, the old South Campus, a 15-hour power outage, students were getting restless. So he hired a band from off campus and started a dance party for the students.
Wow.
That is the stuff of leadership.
That's incredible.
When you know it's time
to
throw
it. That's really cool. That is a way. Sounds like a lovable guy.
This era of good feeling lasted just about 5 years.
Oh, then what happened?
The Vietnam War happened. Late 60s, turbulence came to campus. At UConn, the spark was protests against Dow Chemical recruiting on campus. Dow Chemical, makers of napalm, which was a controversial product.
Why?
So students began protesting Dow Chemical manufacturers in 1967, but it really came to a head in the fall of 68. Students occupied Gully Hall, and they issued mimeographed bulletins that said things like, "The Tsar's Winter Palace has been liberated. What will the Tsar do now?" Homer was the Tsar.
There was a documentary film made about that that was played at the Dodd Center as part of a protest-themed exhibition that was put together in the Alternative Press Collection.
Yep.
And there was some inside the executive office conversations with him saying, "This is not what I am here for."
Mm. Yes. It's called Diary of a Student Revolution. It's really fascinating. It was made for PBS. And anyway, as this went on, there was a protest against the Olin Mathiasen Company, who were meeting with students, recruiting them to come work for them at one of the brown houses on Gilbert Road, because they kept moving the recruiters around because students would protest. So students got wind of this and showed up, and things got out of hand when the protesters tackled a student who was trying to get inside for an interview. UConn didn't have a police department then. It had security guards who just had long clubs, and they just started clubbing everybody. The protesters started throwing bricks.
Oh, my gosh.
And Babbage had to call in the state police. There were 100 state troopers at the Mansfield Training School waiting for the call. And in that movie that Ken mentioned, Babbage says that it was the saddest day of his life when he had to do that. One of Homer Babbage's big issues was tuition. There was no tuition at UConn at the time, which was common for public universities. And lawmakers at the end of the 60s
No tuition?
No tuition. If you were a state resident, you came here, no tuition.
This made me really angry.
CCNY in New York went up until sometime, I think, in the 80s or 90s before they started charging tuition.
I did not know this was part of our history.
There were calls to impose tuition for the first time. Babbage opposed them, saying, raising the financial threshold of college attendance would serve to impede the purpose of public education, namely to encourage the individual, regardless of the accidents of birth and economic circumstances, to develop their talents to the fullest. Babbage had a good relationship with the governor, John Dempsey, in the 60s, but a new governor was elected at the end of the decade, Thomas Meskel, who did not like UConn. He was very antagonistic towards UConn, and he demanded that faculty salaries be cut and that efforts be made to curb student demonstrations, and he wanted tuition. And eventually he got tuition, imposing tuition. So shortly after that, Homer tendered his letter of resignation.